Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship services. We're located at 4701 Lee Street in Alexandria, Louisiana, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
K-A-Y-T, 88.1 FM, 70,000 watts of gospel power. Power beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. K-A-Y-T, 88.1 FM.
Jesus. Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
The wonderful name of your son Jesus the Christ, our Savior, our elder brother. We thank you for this privileged opportunity to study your word. Thank you for those who have made the sacrifice to be a part of this study today. God, we pray that you will meet them and minister to them right where they are spiritually, and then lift them to the place you'd have them to be for your glory and our good. In Jesus' name we pray. Every believer said, amen. God bless you. Give God some praise as you are seated in his presence. Amen, amen. Now, what I want to do as we prepare to start this special study, we're in the time and the season of Thanksgiving, and we won't have audience participation today because it is all about showing our Thanksgiving, our spirit of gratitude, rather than the incidence of gratitude, shows our maturity in Christ. And even when we learn how to be grateful for the things that don't always go our way, because through those things, God, as we know, according to the word, says that we know that all things do what? Work together for what? For good. For them that love God, for those who are called according to his purpose. So knowing that as you grow and mature in the Lord, you may have had your set of plans, you may have had your desire of how you wanted things to turn out, how you wanted them to, you know, end up. And not to say that they won't end up that way, but at this point, they've not come to that point. And so you're dealing with them and wrestling with them. But what you need to realize is, once you come to that place of knowing that God is in control, that he's got this thing fixed, that if you would show, God, I am grateful more for your will being done than mine. Notice when Jesus says in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, but thy will be done. It was not a happy time in his life. It was not when things were going well. It was not when he was experiencing the height of his joy on planet Earth. No, it was at the deepest point of his sorrow and disappointment. It was at that point he said, not my will, but thine be done. Now, you've got to be at a place of maturity to be able to thank God when it ain't good for you. You've got to be at a point of maturity when it's not going your way and you don't see how it's going to turn out your way and how it's going to work out your way. But it's in that same moment that you should be grateful and thankful to God. And so one of the things that I want you to do is, if you've got some paper and pencil, I want you to jot down 10 of the most grateful things on your list. We're going to take a little time. I wanted to go through a series of studies in terms of scripture, but I'm going to just turn to Psalms 100, and we're going to go through Psalms 100, and then I'll pick out a few points from that. But I want this to be a participatory study today. I want you to list 10 of the most important, the greatest, the height of your blessings are those things that you are thankful for. And this is personal. I mean, we're not going to grade you or anything, but we are going to share with you some hopeful, holy hints as to how we should be grateful and thankful to God, even perhaps above where we are presently. So you jot down the top 10 list, your top 10 list. Now, while you are jotting those down, you take a few moments and think, and I'll just go through the scripture that we'll be going through, and we will return to your list. Psalm number 100 starts off, this is really a joyful psalm, a joyful psalm. It talks about serving God with gladness, talks about rejoicing in Him, knowing who you are and whose you are. And so as it starts off, it's not but five verses, but the first verse begins by saying, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. So this is inclusive of every person on planet Earth having a reason to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Listen at verse 2. It says, serve the Lord with gladness. Don't care what your position is, what your place is, what your prominence is. It says, serve Him with gladness. Come before His presence with thanksgiving. You know, we who are children of the Most High God have a God that can fix our every situation, our every circumstance, our every problem, every concern. So we don't have to come to Him complaining. We can petition Him. We can request. We can ask of Him. We don't have to come complaining. Complaining won't help Him jump on our issue and work it out quicker, because He knows who we are. And if we know who we are, then we know our privilege. And if we know our privilege, then we know it is our prerogative to be able to go to God and simply state what it is we want in faith, in the name of Jesus, and know that if it is according to the will of God, that when we pray, we have what we petition Him for. We have it. So what's the sense in complaining? It's just like when Jesus went, saw the man who had been by the pool of Bethesda some 38 years, asked him, did he want to be whole? The first thing the man did was complain. Jesus didn't ask him nothing about, man, what's going on? What's your problem? What, tell me all about your troubles. He just asked him a question. Do you want to be made whole? And so sometimes we miss our blessings and our benefits by not knowing our position, by not knowing our prerogative, by not knowing our privilege as a child of God. We can boldly go before the throne of grace and tell God what our situations are, and knowing that He'll hear and answer us and get it taken care of without the complaining and being cynical. Look at verse 3. It says this, know ye, not think ye, not feel ye, not believe ye, but know ye that the Lord, He is God. If you really know He's God, then you know what all that entails. You know His power. You know His preeminence. You know His privilege as the supreme being who can do anything but fail. So when you know He is God, you know that there is no other God before, above, or greater than He. And so when you know that, it makes it a whole lot better. For it says, it is He that had made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. See, when you know God, that means, number one, you are on the path to knowing yourself. Because if He is God and you know that He has created you, He's the creator, you're the creation, there is a connection there. In that connection, which is called relationship, you have the right as the sheep of His pasture, knowing He is your shepherd. David says in the 23rd Psalm, verse 1, the Lord is what? He is my shepherd. And if He is my shepherd, what? I listen at the certainty, shall not want. So if you shall not want, what you complaining for? What you being cynical and disillusioned for? What are you listing your laundry list of disappointments and all the rest? All that's going to come. It comes to the saved. It comes to the unsaved. It comes to the righteous. It comes to the unrighteous. But the Bible says many of the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. So if God's going to fix your situation, why let your situation fix you?
Man, what you whining and crying for? I mean, okay, there is a human side of us. We might cry for 3 seconds. 3 seconds. Then you wipe your eyes and say, okay, all right, got that out the way now. Now let me get on with the business of God taking care of this situation. And when you begin to operate in that kind of certainty, knowing that he is God, then it makes all things well. Here is what I want you to see. Verse 4. Enter into his gates with what? With thanksgiving. This is a powerful phrase, because one of the things that you must be clear about in understanding the writer stating this, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. You know, when you have an expectation of God, now we have a revelation that they didn't have. Now we understand the Holy Ghost and the presence of the Lord being with us in our daily walk. And so we really don't have to wait till we enter into the gates to give thanksgiving. How many understand that? You can be in your car, in your home, you can be at work, wherever you are. You can just have a spirit of thanksgiving and praise breaks out. You can have a praise party all by yourself with others who will come and help you lift up and magnify the name of the Lord. But they didn't have that privilege. So yet there was an expectation upon coming to the house of the Lord. When they entered into the gates, they came in, and that was an attitude adjustment. I don't care what they were going through, for they came through the gates. Once they touched holy ground, it was like, I know it's going to be all right. I know I've made it this close, but now when I get closer, it's going to get even better. But their mindset was, if I can just make it through the gates. And so you enter with what? Well, now, what if things are not good, and what if things are bad, and what if you're going through? How do you enter into the gate? Still with thanksgiving. Here's what you need to know, that all of your situations, your circumstances, your trials, your tribulations are subject to the authority of God. So it don't matter what you're going through before you go through. Once you walk through, you enter with thanksgiving, because you know God's about to turn this situation. There is an expectation, man, when God gets a hold of my problems will be my praise. What he's allowed me to go through is so that I could go to what he wants for me. It is a maturing process. It is a developing process. And so you enter into his courts, into the gates with thanksgiving, and then it takes it further. And into his court with what?
Praise.
With praise. Listen at the elevated progressive order here. We start off thanking him, but you can't thank him until you are thankful. So when you start thinking about his goodness, it automatically escalates into praise. But notice you're steady progressively marching closer to the Lord. From entering the gates and then getting into the courts. And the closer you get to him, the more he makes you feel. Some of y'all gonna catch that on your way home. I say the closer you get to him, the more he makes you feel. Listen again at this word. I want you to see it. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Now look at what the rest of it says. Be thankful. You know, you might not be able to be thankful to a whole lot of other folk, but the record is, be thankful unto him. See, because listen to this. You remember Job, and of course all of us know him historically through the word and his struggle. But you know what the devil wasn't banking on? That through it all, he had a spirit of thanksgiving. You know, some of us, we look at what we're going through and it's like, Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. Let me ask you a question. Was it more than what Job went through? Because if it was more than what Job went through, listen at this. If you didn't have the New Testament, you might have a leg to stand on. But since the New Testament is in the Bible, I'd have to progressively take it to another level. If what you're going through isn't greater than the resurrection, somebody missed that, so I'll help you understand. If your situation isn't that you die and didn't get up 3 days later, then God has a remedy for your situation. Because if he did what he did for Jesus, and Jesus, who has already conquered death and given us the victory, he's even passed us from death unto life. So our situation will never be what his was. He went through hell so we wouldn't have to go to hell. So we've got an express invitation to move from the body and be present with the Lord and know him and his existence on a whole new level. So I'm trying to tell you, whatever it is you're going through, if it doesn't match Job or it doesn't match Jesus, you need to stop complaining and start your praising. Listen, that be thankful unto him. Now there is something that is connected with being thankful unto him. What does the rest of that verse say? And conjunction. If you're going to be thankful unto him, what do you have to do? Bless his name. How are you going to be thankful to him and you don't bless his name? What does bless his name mean? Can anyone answer that for me? Raise your hand, please. Okay, I heard the right answer. I just need somebody to raise their hand and let's say it aloud. Okay, sister. Let them know how much you love him. Somebody, throw us it. Amen. To praise him, brag about him, to talk about all his goodness. Anybody else? Lift him up. Amen. Anybody else?
Yes, Lord.
Glorify his name, sis.
Tell him, praise him for what he brought you.
Amen. Amen. All right. Acknowledge him for all your ways. Amen. Now you, listen, and we can keep on, and everybody that raised their hand probably have a right and correct understanding of how you bless his name. You say good things about him. That's how you bless his name. Listen at this. You bless his name because his name is connected with his deeds. And great are his deeds, and great is his name. And his name and his deeds are synonymous. So you can't bless his great deeds without blessing his great name. And every time you talk about his great deeds, you can bless his name because they are connected together. But you can't do none of it unless you let it come out your mouth.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
How many can be honest and say, God's done so many wonderful things, but you have not told it all?
That's right.
All right. So if you have not told it all, then that means you still got some more to tell. So don't be sitting up here with locked lips acting like you ain't got nothing to be thankful for when you admit it, you can't tell it all. Show of hands, how many he's been good to? Hands down. Show of hands, how many is he good to right now? Hands down. How many is he going to be good to? Hands up. So if you ain't got nothing past and present, but you got something futuristic to thank him for, because he is so honoring in that he favors the word that he has spoken and honors the word that he has spoken. He cannot lie. He's not a man. It's going to happen. You can praise him in advance because his record speaks for itself. Now listen at this again, and then we're going to go to your list. For the Lord is good. That's why you can bless his name, because each verse just gets better. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. All of us experience, listen, goodness, for the Lord is good, because of his goodness, we experience the good that God and only God can grant us. But how many of us know we need more than goodness? That's why when the psalmist talks about in the end of that 23rd Psalm, goodness and mercy. Here it is right here, connected right here. There is a necessity in every believer's heart and life for both goodness and mercy. Goodness most times deal with the flesh and the natural, the seen and all of those things in the tangible world. But mercy deals more with the spirit realm. Deals with your soul and deals with those things that God knows are eternal. So here it talks about, again, For the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth, which is his word, endureth to all generations, which means what I'm telling you today won't change tomorrow. And it won't change when your children and your grandchildren and your children's children and on and on and on to all generations. It's not going to change then. What you know now, they'll know then. If it's the word of God, it is not going to change. And so that means God, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. All right, now we have our list. I want to go through some of the things on our list. The top 10 list, I want you to raise your hand. And I know y'all are going to mimic, you know, some of the very same things. It doesn't matter because he's done some of the same things for all of us. Amen. So let me get a volunteer who will start off with a one. Verse on the end over there. Sister Slade. You can get up if you like, Don.
Grateful for Jesus.
Okay.
Family. Clothes. Shelter. Wealth. Schools. Church.
All right. God bless you. All right. Back here, brother. I want you to talk with your outside voice so we can hear you. Stand on up. Yeah, since those, yeah. Okay. Health.
For my children. For my friends. Family. For the privilege to love him. For my home. I also want to thank him for trouble.
All right.
And I want to thank him for the years that he has blessed me to live on this earth in health.
Amen.
Thank him for my grandbaby. And thank him for an opportunity to stand up here and say these 10
things. Amen. God bless. God bless somebody else. Okay, on the front here.
My life, my child, my health, my family, my joy, my pain, my sorrow, my friends, my church, and my
family.
Amen. Amen. Tongues.
First of all, I want to thank him for him. Then I thank him for Jesus. Then I thank him for the Holy Ghost. And then I thank him for my pastor. Then I thank him for my family. Then I thank him for my church family. Then I thank him for myself, my friends, my material things, and then I thank him for my enemies.
All right, all right. Praise the Lord. Somebody, okay, right here.
I'm just going to give you one. I'm thankful for having my right mind and then clothing in my right
mind.
Amen. Without mind, you can't do anything.
All right, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. All right, sis.
I only have one, too, and mine was for God's word, because he made everything that was, that is, and is to come possible in my life.
Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, sister.
Yes. I'm thankful for my healing, my family, my finances, my relationship with God. I'm thankful for my salvation, my deliverance, my redemption, my ministry. And I'm also thanking for opening doors.
Amen. Amen. Very good. Okay. Over, Sister Barnes.
I won't say some of the things they've already said, but I have first and foremost that he saved me.
Amen.
Then his faithfulness to me, his grace and mercy, personal health, and the health of my family, as well as the love from my family and friends. God's provisions, those are the needs and wants. He provides all my needs and a lot of my wants. God's protection, freedom of religious worship, peace of mind, wisdom and knowledge, and that's that godly wisdom and knowledge.
Amen.
Friends and loved ones, I just blow them around.
Amen. Amen. All right, right here, Brother Terrell.
I'm not going to name all 10 because some of them have been said, but first and foremost, I'm just going to say, I'm thankful for learning to love unconditionally, but also for my church and my pastor and God's word, because I realize now that the things I do, the things that I say to my nieces and my nephews, it comes back to me. And when they can come to me, my 9-year-old niece, and tell me if I'm venting or complaining,
she knows to tell me, Tina, you just have to pray. And, you know, it's so important how I live my life because they pay attention to that. So I thank God for that.
Amen. All right, back here, Brother Tyrone. Right quickly, get to it. All right.
I only have one, and that's for the strength and courage to take care of my 89-year-old mother.
Amen.
And my 4 grandkids.
Amen.
Take a lot of patience.
Amen. Right here, Brother Tyrone. God bless you.
I don't have too much. I have so much to be thankful for, so I just thank for all they have done for me, where he brought me from, and then
amen. Amen. Anybody else? Okay, we have 2 over here. And we're going to wrap it up because I want to show you something on your list, okay? And I want you to put it there for yourself. I want you to grade your list, and I'm going to tell you with what in a moment. He's coming right here, brother.
I want to thank God for my life, for understanding, for my health, for love, for peace, for my children, for grace that he gives us every day, for mercy, for joy, and for patience.
Amen. God bless right here, Brother Bonds, and then.
Yes, Pastor, I'm just happy to be here.
Amen.
Life, salvation, the activities of my limbs, health and strength, wisdom and knowledge, my family, food, shelter over my head, clothing, and church family.
Amen. Brother A.D.?
All of the others I've seen already, but number one,
come on, give the Lord a hand of praise for those who have shared with us. Now, what I want you to do, I want you to write down, first of all, tangible and seen. Tangible and seen. Things that you can touch, feel, tangible, and seen, viewable. Things that you can see. And then I want you to put under that spiritual and unseen. Spiritual and unseen. Okay? So you've got the tangible and the seen, the spiritual and the unseen. Now what I want you to do is to go back through your list. And I want you to mark by each thing that you've listed down there, is it tangible and seen, which means that it has to do with something that you've received, something physical, something in this world, something that you can see with your natural eyes or touch with your hands, whether it's food, clothing, cars, home, whatever, money, whatever. All of those are tangible and seen. Spiritual blessings are those things that are unseen. Salvation, Jesus, love, joy, peace, all the rest of those things. Those are unseen spiritual things. And what I want you to do is to look at your list, and this is your top 10 list, and see if you're more grateful at this point about the natural things than you are about the spiritual things. And this is just to grade you for where you are in your own understanding. And what it's designed to do is to help you realize that there are so many more blessings in the spiritual and unseen realm that you don't have any knowledge of right now, or you're not conscious of right now. And even though you can probably give me a list, you know, 100 times longer than that in the natural, the tangible and seeable list, I promise you, you could not even compare that with the spiritual and the unseen. Even just going through the Word of God and letting the Holy Ghost show you, this is a part of your blessing, this is a part of your benefit, this is a part of your salvation. And see, if the enemy can keep you ignorant of what you really ought to be thankful for, then your maturity level in God would be stunted. And really, when you recognize the spiritual and the unseen benefits of being saved and what God is doing for you, not just in the tangible and seeable world, but in the unseen world, in that real world where all of the real issues come before they ever make it to the natural realm, then if you can take hold of that world, you'll change this world. Did you just hear what I said? See, if the devil makes you, again, unaware of the unseen world and the power and the presence of that world, then all you will ever do in this world is respond to what has happened from the other world. But if you learn how to go into the unseen world and create, speak those things that be not as though they were. If you learn how to go into that unseen world and begin to develop and define what you want in the natural realm, then you then beat the devil at his own game, because you have become word worthy to know what your privilege is, what your prerogative is, and how God wants you to operate, because you're made of dust and divinity. You're made